Welcome to the Stronger Marriage Podcast with Trey and Lee Morgan. We're glad you've joined us today. We are talking about things that will kill your sex life.
Welcome to the Stronger Marriage Podcast with Trey and Lee. On this podcast, you'll hear real topics about real life. They cover everything from married sex to raising kids to loving your spouse so much that you're willing to forgive them for occasionally being the most annoying person in the world. Trey and Lee have raised 4 boys, been married over 30 years, and somehow still really like each other. And now, live from the metropolis of Childress, Texas, a place so flat you can watch your dog run away for 3 days. Here are your hosts for the Stronger Marriage Podcast, Trey and Lee Morgan.
Hey, everybody. We are glad you joined us today.
Welcome to the podcast. We thank you for joining us. We thank you. We got on iTunes where they have their podcasts, and we saw so many nice things. I read to Lee several of the nice reviews that we have received. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yes.
If you have left us a review on iTunes for our podcast, you are so kind to us. Thank you.
We appreciate the encouragement because we don't always know, you know, if we're doing any good by doing this. So hearing some of the comments let us know that y'all are listening and that y'all are getting something out of it. So
yeah,
we appreciate it.
That is exactly right. We are a week away from Thanksgiving week. Actually, we're a week away from Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving, yes.
Yes. And so we're excited about that. We're going to see family, see a granddaughter, get to hang out. It's going to be a good week. Going to be a good week. We will not be back next week with an episode. We're going to take the week off. I hope that's okay. thank you for your patience with us. But we thought we would do one today on sex and intimacy and talk about some things that if you're not careful, they can really be dangers to a good, healthy, married sex life. There's a lot of value in protecting your intimacy and your sex life with your spouse. And there's a lot of things that can come in and creep into your marriage and kind of steal that. We don't want that to happen.
That's right. We preach intentionality about everything, and your sexual intimacy is no different. You've got to be intentional with it to make it the best that it can be.
And we want to say, this is probably a good part before we kick in with some of the points that we've got, that we talk about in our workshops the value of intimacy or sex in our marriage, because we have learned that it's more than just fun, that there is a reason that God designed sex for a husband and wife, and that it is because it connects and reconnects a couple together. It is just a bonding that takes place. And as we visited the other day and talked about in our workshop in Houston, there's that bonding, that oxytocin is released into your system when sex takes place between a husband and a wife. That is kind of a bonding, a claiming. It's a, that's my man, that's my woman. It's the same oxytocin that's released when you give birth to a baby, when you nurse a baby, or when you have sex. And it's God's way of reconnecting two people.
Yes, absolutely. He gave us the gift of sex for a very specific purpose. Yeah, and we should take advantage of it in marriage.
Yeah, and so it's not just, it is for fun, it is for pleasure, it is not just for procreation, but it's for so much more than those two things.
Yes.
It is for oneness.
Yes.
And it is something that you have to protect, and you don't let things creep in and take away your intimacy. You want to be somebody who says yes more than you say no. We want to be somebody who sees it as a big deal instead of, it don't matter if that happens or not. It is healthy for your marriage. And so let's talk about some things. I think we have 8 ways or 8 things that will kill your sex life if you're not careful. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about some of these for a second.
So guard against these things. The first one is laziness. Man, it's kind of like working out. You know, we try to go to the gym on a regular basis, and there are days that we just don't want to. It doesn't sound like fun. It sounds like too much work. It sounds like effort. And I'm going to just shoot straight up with you. As a woman, sometimes I can feel that way about sex. It's like, it just sounds like too much work right now. And
another thing on your to-do list.
But it's never happened where afterwards I thought, man, I really hate that we did that, you know.
It's kind of like going to the gym.
That's exactly right. I'm always glad that I made the effort to go to the gym. It always makes me feel better about myself. I usually have, you know, better energy for the rest of the day, you know, whatever it is. And sex is no different, I think.
Once you're there at the gym, you're kind of going, all right, I got this. I can handle this. This was good. Mm-hmm. I'm glad I came.
That's right.
And it kind of works that way. Sometimes laziness, just don't have the energy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just something else to do. The kids have needed stuff all day long. Mm-hmm. Let's just push it to the back burner. And that's a dangerous thing to happen.
It is. But it really does. It takes energy. It takes initiative. Sometimes it takes planning. But your marriage will be more healthy when it's happening regularly.
Yeah. And there's a lot of reasons behind it. Sometimes you may be going, I'm tired. Sometimes you may be going, I'd like to throw this out there to my spouse, but I may be rejected and that makes me feel bad. And so there's maybe a lot of reasons you don't, but you just gotta say, hey, I'm not gonna let laziness push this to the back burner because this is important to my marriage.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So that can also lead us into the second one that we say, that we call busyness and weariness. We talk about this in our workshops, that our schedules sometimes just get so crazy and we're so busy that we're dropping in bed exhausted every night. And I mean, that is just not conducive to a healthy sex life. If you're just so exhausted all the time and you're so busy that you can't find the time for sexual intimacy. And as we said before, it's just like working out. You're not going to ever find the time. You're going to have to make the time. And sometimes that means, you know, looking at your schedule ahead of time and going, you know, what night can we guard this week? You know, maybe it means sneaking home at lunch for a quickie.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever. But you can't just let everything else take importance over that. And you know, it's easy to do these days when you've got kiddos. You know, maybe you got three kiddos and they're all involved in sports and activities and you're going to all of those things and you still work and have to take care of the house and cook and, you know, just you can get overwhelmed and you can get too busy and be too tired to even think about it. But it's worth the effort if you will guard your schedule. Little bit.
One of the biggest detriments to marriage today is overscheduling. Mm-hmm. It really is. Not just sex, but marriage in general.
Yes.
Because
it's kind of what we talked about last week.
It is. You just get too busy, mm-hmm. and it's just like you don't have time to be married.
Yes.
And things that are important suffer, like your intimacy with your spouse. Mm-hmm. And you may be exhausted. The kids all may finally be in bed. And sometimes we get kind of in that rut that just says, I'm going to go get in my recliner, right. and you fall asleep in your recliner,
or you watch TV. Yeah, you watch TV, you start scrolling on your phone, and the next thing you know, an hour's passed, and you know, that's time that you could have been spending together. And while that downtime is essential as well, just don't let that always be the case every night.
Yeah, don't let that be the case. A lack of sleep increases anxiety, possible depression, your overall productivity drops along with a healthy libido. Just make sure that you and your spouse are getting plenty of rest because that will bless your intimacy as well.
Mm-hmm.
But both these points, laziness and number two, weariness and busyness are all about priorities.
Mm-hmm.
It's not important if you're not going to make it a priority. Yeah. And you've got to make it a priority. It's just got to be something that is important.
That's right.
Got to be something that's important.
So the third one that we want to talk about is getting stuck in a rut.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is easy to do.
You know, I found it interesting. We posted several days ago on Instagram about intimacy and sex and healthy sex in marriage. And I had two or three, and I think there were women that commented on there saying, hey, we've been married 25 years. We've been married 30 years. We've been married 35 years. And it has only gotten better with time. And these are people that I have no doubt that have protected the intimacy in their marriage. They have not given up. And they have just said, hey, we're going to stick after this because, you know, early in marriage, it may be going, this wasn't everything it's been cracked up to be. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you've been married 33 years like we have, or you've been married for a while, maybe you're stuck in a rut. Don't get stuck in a rut. That means it doesn't have to be predictable. You don't have to have the same night. Don't always have to be in a bedroom. It doesn't always have to be the same thing all the time. And this is a podcast, so we can say these things. We don't always say these things at a workshop, but we can say a couple of things. So let me just say this. Healthy Christian married sex isn't always about just the missionary position. It's not always about the lights have to be out. It's got to be just in the dark. It doesn't have to be. It's just got to be at nighttime. It's just got to be the same position. Now, work or do what is comfortable for you. Meaning, if something works for you and your spouse, and that's a position or something that y'all really like, sure, do it again. But it's okay to change things up, do things a little bit different. We recommend a book that we like called Sheet Music, which is a book on sexual intimacy by Kevin, Dr. Kevin Lehman. And that was really good for us to read together because if you're a little uncomfortable talking to your spouse about this kind of stuff, read this book together.
And you may be thinking, I don't know how to change things up. I don't know what to do different. Educate yourself. You know, there's plenty of good Christian books out there on sexual intimacy that are, you know, some pretty plain talk that can help you, you know, learn some new things to try. So
yeah,
don't be afraid to educate yourself.
Yeah, that is exactly right. And so yeah, don't get stuck in a rut. It's okay to have some fun with it. Communicate with your spouse and just say, you know, maybe it's something you want to try and just say, hey, would you be interested or can we try this? Maybe you're a little uncomfortable talking to your spouse about that. Text it to them, you know, make sure as we talked last week or the week before, make sure you send it to the right person. If we're going to talk about this, people, check your person who you're texting to, but yeah, don't get stuck in a rut. That can be a sex life killer when it's just the same old, same old. Married sex should never be boring sex. And it's the longer you're together doesn't mean boring. It just means that you've learned how to rock one another's world.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that's good stuff right there.
Yes.
You've learned how to rock one another's world.
It does. And a big part of this is, it kind of falls into this next one, is a lack of communication.
Yeah.
It's hard.
When you don't talk about it.
Yeah, it's hard on it. And so this, you know, this falls right in there with, you know, not getting stuck in a rut. If you've got to communicate and you've got to, you know, educate yourself, educate each other
about
what
you
like and what you don't like. And guys, I'm just going to tell you, what your wife may like one time, she may hate the next time. And I'm sorry about that. And I don't know why that is, but it's true.
Why is that?
I don't know.
It would just be so easy if you could just get your little notebook out and go, okay, so this is what they're going to like this time.
Yep.
But no, it don't work that way.
I don't know. It just doesn't. So I'm sorry that we're so difficult, but it's
God true. Made you that way. But yeah, communicate, talk about those things. What feels good, what you like, what you don't like, that sort of stuff. If there's something you don't like, can I throw this out here? If there's something you don't like, if you're going to talk about it, don't make it come across too negative. Meaning, mm-hmm. I wasn't as crazy about that. Versus something along the lines of, well, I hated that, you know, don't ever try that again, you know, whatever it is. You know, when you're dealing with, boy, you're so vulnerable
mm-hmm.
when you're naked with one another. And I mean, boy, you just don't get any more vulnerable than sex and marriage. That's why it's so amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And so be cautious how you How you communicate sex to one another, how you talk about it. You don't have to like something real well, and you might just say, "Hey, that just didn't work for me." Might be better than go, "Boy, that was the dumbest thing we've ever tried."
Yeah.
So just learn to come across a little bit better when you're talking about maybe something that you don't like, but
that's right.
But it's okay to talk about sex. God's not uncomfortable with it. I find it interesting that right smack dab in the middle of his Bible, he has included the Song of Solomon, which is 8 chapters of a book that the whole book is about sex. It is about a man chasing his wife and a wife chasing her husband. And they talk about doing things to each other that would kind of make you blush if you read it from a modern translation Bible. Sometimes you read stuff and you go, is he saying what I think he's saying he's going to do? And he is. And so if God's not embarrassed by it, it's okay for you to talk about it with your husband or with your wife. It's totally okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. God created it. And I mean, there's nothing that you've ever done that he hasn't already thought of. So yeah. He's the creator of sex.
Yeah. I find it interesting. Can I throw this out here?
Yes.
God created Adam and Eve in a garden naked and said, go have fun. And it's like, he knew what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it was just, he wasn't embarrassed by it. It is just a gift to married people. It's a beautiful thing.
It is. And so, we're talking about, you know, communicating about what you like and don't like about sex, but lack of communication in general will kill your sex life. Because a great sex starts with an emotional connection, especially for women.
So meaning if a husband never talks to his mm-hmm. wife except for saying, hey, babe, you in a mood?
Right.
Probably is not the thing that you've got to connect
emotionally
mm-hmm. with your spouse. That helps her to be in the mood.
Yes. Marriages suffer when husbands and wives slowly stop communicating. And your sex life is one of the first things to suffer from a lack of communication in marriage. So never stop communicating, never stop talking, never stop having conversations. Share your emotions. Talk about your fears and your hurts and you know, goals, and just talk about your relationship often. It's so important to have that emotional connection and that friendship
mm-hmm.
that we talk so much about. So
yeah, that is true. That's a good point. So lack of communication is a sex life killer. What's the next one?
Not taking care of your body will also kill your sex life.
Yes, it will. Mm-hmm. We need to take care of the body that God has given us.
We have.
Do our best with what we've got. And this is more than just exercising and eating healthy. And that's what that is too.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more than that. Both of these can be a huge factor that impact married sex life. Just taking care of yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Exercise, eating healthy, those are important things. Those do and can affect your sex life. But it's more than that. Sometimes there are just things that are not working well. Sometimes you just don't feel well and you can't figure out why. And they might require a trip to the doctor. And we're so stinking proud sometimes. And we think, I don't want to go to the doctor. That's embarrassing. You know, to go and talk to the doctor about having problems in that area. But that's silly. I mean, you know, we suggest you go to the doctor at least once a year to monitor your overall health and stress levels, because my goodness, your yearly checkups have practically saved your life twice.
And we both do this. We both do. Have yearly physicals where we go in and have some blood work done and just kind of get a good checkup.
Mm-hmm.
It is just like you have preventative maintenance on your car, that you check your oil and you change your air cleaner and all this kind of stuff. We have preventative maintenance on our bodies, and twice a doctor has found cancer early, mm-hmm. early by me just going in for a yearly checkup, which has been amazing.
Yeah.
One of the things that a couple of years ago, I went in and had some blood work done, and being a man in my mid-50s, my doctor said, you're low on testosterone.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe there's a man listening to this that needs to hear this, and I'm going to tell you just so it'll encourage you. I asked him, I said, well, what does that mean? Because I just tied testosterone and sex together, and my sex life was still really pretty good. And he says, it's not just about sex. He says, yes, testosterone is needed for a man to function sexually. But he said, he said, do you find yourself, you know, climbing in your recliner at 6 o'clock at night, exhausted and just done for the day and not having energy and not sleeping well? He named off about five things. And I said, yes, on every one of those. I said, I just figured I'm getting old and I don't have the energy I used to have. He said, that's all low testosterone. And he encouraged me to do weekly shots and set this up. And I have been doing these for the last 2 to 3 years. And it has really made a difference in all areas of my life. Mm-hmm. My energy, my sleeping, I'm sure in my sexual health, just different things. And so don't be embarrassed about going, hey, if something's not working, or if a doctor says, hey, if you do this, that might make things a little bit better. Sometimes it might require a trip to a doctor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and same for women. I mean, you know, those hormone levels may not be quite where they need to be. If you're, you know, middle-aged, what we would say middle-aged, you may not be producing enough progesterone, which can affect all kinds of things, you know, not only your libido, but just different things. And so
That's kind of like testosterone for women, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So get those things checked out.
Yeah, go see a doctor. Go see a counselor. Go see a psychologist if there's some mental issues, maybe some past hurts.
That's right. Somewhere. You may have some things in your past that you have not ever quite dealt with. And, you know, go talk to a counselor. Don't have too much pride to get some things worked out that might need to be worked out.
You know, I always said, going back to testosterone and being a man in my mid-50s, you know, the big myth always said men think about sex, what is it, 7 seconds?
We had read that, 7 seconds a day.
And that's pretty much a myth. Mm-hmm.
Every 7 seconds.
And actually, somebody's done this study, and several sites have said it's really about 19 times a day that men think of sex. And I'm trying to remember how many women.
Which is quite a bit.
It's still quite a bit.
10 for women is what it said.
10 for women, 19 times a day for men. 19 times a day, men think about sex. And I'm going to tell you, as a man in my mid-50s, I no longer think about sex 19 times a day. It's probably 16 times a day. Yeah, so we've backed off just a shot.
Just a little,
You know, but not a whole lot. I'm going to get really worried when it drops to 15 times a day.
All right.
But,
so take care of your body. Another thing we should just throw out here, because we actually have people that write into us and ask us about this, is physical hygiene. You know, sometimes they say, well, my partner just doesn't seem to care about basic physical hygiene. And so we're just throw this out here. Man, before you climb into bed, it's kind of nice to brush your teeth, to maybe wash your face, to make sure you smell decent.
Men like to smell. Men love smells like fresh cut grass and grill smoke and, you know, just garage things. Like, men love campfires, but that's not very sexy, is it?
Yeah, I think that most women prefer toothpaste and soap and deodorant and all of those smells.
So you'd rather me climb into bed smelling like soap than campfire.
Freshly showered. Yes.
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 And
it's amazing what taking a shower before bed will do for your sex life.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and since we're talking about taking care of our body, and this might be a good point to throw this out there, men are very visually stimulated. And so it is important for, and some women, and so if your spouse is very stimulated visually, maybe pick out something cute to wear to bed. You know, that little lacy whatever it is, or sheer something, maybe not always the oversized t-shirt or the sweats. Or as someone said this past week, I got tickled at, they said, you know, every wife has a not tonight gown that they put on occasionally. You just look at your wife and it's not tonight. You know, don't always wear the not tonight gown, you know. And so, yeah, that is just take care of your body. Take care of your body. Look the best for your spouse.
Yes.
So we got three more. Let's knock the last three out.
Okay, so the next one is thinking and speaking negatively.
So how can that hurt your sex life?
Yeah. Basically just, man, I mean, the goal in marriage, really, for everything, is to treat each other with kindness and respect. I mean, treat others the way you want to be treated, and that's no different in marriage. And if you're treating each other poorly, then the last thing you're going to want to do is jump in the sack together.
Yeah. So you can't be rude to your spouse or have a tone and go, hey, are you turned on now? And it's like, no, I'm just the opposite. You can't be unkind to your spouse and then expect them to go, hey, yes, I really want to make love to you tonight.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, that's just kind of like throwing cold water on things. So, and then, you know, be especially kind to each other regarding your physical appearance and attractiveness, especially women. I mean, guys, don't make jokes about her knocking over lamps with her hips, you know, and then expect her to want to show her body to you. So,
good point.
Yeah. When people don't feel good about themselves, they are less enthusiastic about having sex. So build a habit of thinking and speaking positively and treating each other well.
Yeah, good point. Number 7, co-sleeping with kids. Sometimes we get a little feedback with this.
We do get actually quite a bit of feedback on this.
But we're not big fans. Now understand what we're saying here. It's okay for occasionally your kids to sleep in your room. It's okay if your kids get up at 3 o'clock in the morning scared and come climb in your bed. But it's not okay for every night your kids to be in your bed when you go to bed at 8:30 and share a bed with them every night. That is just a habit that becomes a problem. And we have visited with a lot of couples who have said, we don't have any intimacy because kids are always in our bed. And that's not a healthy thing. Your bedroom needs to be reserved for you and your spouse. It needs to be your sanctuary. And if your kids are sleeping in your bed, then you go sleep in their bed. You figure out a way to get away from those kids at bedtime so that y'all can have some time.
Yeah. And we're not saying to ever, you know, let your kids go to bed feeling insecure. Yeah. Ever. I mean, when we put our kids to bed, we would have never just left them in their room crying because they were scared or didn't want us to leave the room or whatever. We would lay down by them until they went to sleep. I mean, we always made sure they felt loved and secure. But our bedroom was our bedroom, and they knew they could come in there if they were scared or had a, you know, bad dream. Mm-hmm. And we had one that every single night came in and wanted to climb in bed with us. And I just don't sleep well if I'm, you know, got a little one, you know,
sticking his feet on you.
Yes. I mean, I just, you know, and so I finally just said, okay, you know, if you're going to do this every night, I literally made a pallet, put a blanket and a pillow next to my bed. And it was just kind of like, he is going to do this every single night, no matter what, in the middle of the night. And so that I can at least sleep, you know, I just would say, okay, you can sleep right down here on this pallet if you think you have to come in here. And he was fine with that. He just needed to be where somebody else was. And I finally told you, our other son, he was about, what, Parker was about 2, and Taylor was about 4. And I said, I think that if we let them share a room, you know, they each had their own room. And I said, I think if we put them in a room together, that this might stop. Let's try that. And so we got bunk beds and they started sleeping in the same room together. And he quit coming to our room every night. He just wanted to be in the room with another person. And so, you know,
may have to work through some of these things.
Yeah.
You may have to work, but don't just give up and go, all right, well, I guess until
we're just sleeping
18
in our bed,
and graduated, they're going to sleep in our bed with us.
That's right.
So, yeah, be cautious about that. Make privacy a priority. When you get your kiddos in bed and putting kiddos to bed at night, sometimes you never know when one's going to get up. Go to your room and lock the door. Make sure your kids know, knock on the door before they come in, but lock your door so that you don't have to worry about little Johnny coming running in on you or something along those lines.
Now,
after
you've been intimate, you can unlock the door so that if they do need to come in, they can come in.
There
but,
you go.
You know, because like I said, they might get up in the night because they're scared, and you want them to be able to come in and find that security that they need. But, just letting them go to bed with you every single night. We just don't feel like that's a healthy thing to do. Now, there's still going to be some of you out here that disagree.
And if you've learned to make it work, okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
If you and your spouse is okay with it. Now, not just you.
Uh-huh.
You and your spouse are okay with it. Then we're okay with it too. But if your spouse is going, no, I don't like this, and you're going, hey, it's not hurting anything. Nah, something's off on that deal.
Mm-hmm.
So don't say, hey, it works for me if it's not working for your spouse.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, what's our last one?
Last one's pornography. Pornography is a sex life killer. It is one of the top five reasons for a sexless marriage. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a lot of things that where pornography can play. There's pornography addictions. We've dealt with this on a former podcast episode. There are some people that may just go, hey, I turned to pornography because I didn't feel like that's not right. I didn't feel like I was getting enough sex in my marriage. That's not a healthy way to look at it. There are sometimes people go, hey, you know, watching porn can help my marriage. That's really not true either. That's a myth. There is no data that supports that. What we know is that porn hurts way more marriages than it's ever helped. And instead of pursuing porn, pursue your spouse. It is dangerous. It is divisive. And if you're struggling with it, you're not alone. There's a lot to do and you need to find some help. Do what you can to find some help, get that fixed, and don't let that destroy your intimacy and your sex with your spouse.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I think you said it all.
Wow, I didn't try to steal all of it, but I'm just on a roll there.
No, we've heard people say, you know, that, well, watching it together can help spice things up in a marriage. And we just don't think that's true. It puts images in your mind that don't need to be there. And you're seeing images of people other than your spouse. And yeah. So.
And their bodies may look different than your right. spouse. And your spouse may be going, man, I
can never live up to that.
Measure up to mm-hmm. that, you know, or I can't do that. There's just so many things that are unhealthy with that. So be very, very cautious.
Yeah.
And so protect the intimacy in your marriage. Protect the sex life in your marriage. Don't let Satan or anything else creep in and try to steal that, because it should get better every year. It should just get better and better and better. And if things aren't good sexually right now, communicate with your spouse about this and continue to work on it. Mm-hmm. Maybe you have asked your spouse and they have shot you down. You keep talking about this. You go see a counselor. You talk to somebody. But don't just... Don't just have a bad sex life when it can be better.
Absolutely.
This was a fun episode.
It was.
And we always enjoy talking about things that sometimes folks are uncomfortable talking about. We appreciate y'all listening. Thank you for your positive feedback. Thank you for joining us. We're just honored that you come hang out with us every week.
We'll be back in 2 weeks. We're headed to Woodward, Oklahoma very soon.
Oh, we're excited. The 4th and 5th of December.
Yes.
Stronger. It's a marriage workshop. We are excited about that. It's going to be so good.
So if you're close, what did we say? That was near Kansas?
Northern Oklahoma.
So check it out.
Panhandle of Texas. Mm-hmm. If you're in Lubbock, Amarillo, Oklahoma City, Kansas, come see us in Woodward. Let's go.
All right. Bye, guys.